Well, 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in our location in Phoenix, and the church in Phoenix is going great, going strong, and was able to be there and minister with Dan and Reagan and the themes, and there's great growth and good things are happening, so that's it's just a good report. Next Sunday, Carol will actually be in Darwin, and she will be ministering there, as it will be the last Sunday before Troy and Nicole return home from long service leave. So I went up there for the first Sunday that they left. She's now going up there to finish the last Sunday before they get home. And so that's where she'll be next Sunday while we're having Heart for the House. So after I left Phoenix, I went to Norfolk, Virginia, and Virginia Beach. Had the privilege of being there with Steve and Sharon Kelly, who pastor Wave Church. It was their Heart for the House Sunday. And I've known Steve and Sharon for 31 years. Actually, they both became Christians in this place right here. They both got saved here. And not only Steve and Sharon, but Mark Hopkins and Sandy are also there on the team. They also became Christians here in this house. And it's just really neat to have that connection there in Virginia Beach and see what good things. We don't realize it sometimes. You know, Gary Clark, who pastors Hillsong London, this house, right out, come out of this house. Phil Dooley, who pastors Hillsong South Africa. Right out of this house. There's some wonderful things around the world happening that God has just birthed and brought out of this house. And we just give him the praise. So it was really great to be back in Virginia Beach and reconnect there and be a part of their Heart for the House. You know, the Wave Church, it used to be Wally Odom. How many remember? That was Wally Odom's church. And Steve and Sharon became the pastors there almost 20 years ago, if you can believe that. They have 8 campuses all over the place, even Los Angeles. And some of the campuses are paid for in cash. How good is God? That's just amazing. I said, give me some of that anointing. Hallelujah. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. But it is great to be home. And next Sunday, of course, our Heart for the House. Can't wait for it. Can't wait to be. I was up early this morning praying over this word and felt like God gave me the word for next week while I was praying over this word. And I'm really excited about our Heart for the House day. It's going to be special. So Psalm 103, our theme, the mercies and miracles of God. How good is the Lord? How good is he? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember how good the Lord is. Remember the benefits. Doug spoke of those benefits this morning. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed as the eagle. And so this month we're coming to the, working our way to the conclusion of this second great benefit for the mercies and miracles of God, and that is that he heals. He heals our diseases. Our God is not only a forgiving God, but our God is also a powerful healing God. And I thank him for his healing. Now, the truth is the Lord heals us, but we're all still going to die. Right? And everyone that's been healed has still got to pass from death to life. Amen? And so let me say this. When the moment you give your heart to Jesus and eternal life comes into you, that healing will take you all the way through this life into eternal life. Come on, somebody. I'm talking, there's a healing in salvation that will last forever, but then there is a temporal healing on this earth and on this planet. And I still believe with all of my heart that Jesus is a healer. I believe like Doug was talking this morning. I still believe with all, even though I know at some point I have to walk out of this body and move into the next body and whatever that day and however that happens, it's in God's hands. But I am convinced, as someone who loves the scriptures and reads the Bible, and I am convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is still the healing Christ. So in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, let's look at our talk this morning. And suddenly, that's a good word in this church. And suddenly, if you've been around for any length of time, you know that that's almost kind of a prophetic, I can't go there today. Might go there next Sunday a little bit, we'll see. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, I'm sure that as you're hearing me speak right now, because I've been in America for the last 2 weeks, you're probably hearing an American accent. I lose my Aussie accent when I go back to the States for a couple weeks and I get home. But don't worry, in a few weeks, I'll have my Aussie accent back, strong as ever. This woman, and suddenly, she said, I just need to touch his clothes. He is so powerful, I don't even need to touch him. I just need to touch something that's touched him. He is so amazing, he is so powerful. 12 years of suffering, one moment of faith, one touch of something that touched him, one touch of his garment, and she was made well that hour. The touch of Jesus makes all the difference in the world. I've entitled my talk this morning, The Healing Touch of Jesus. One touch from Jesus, and this infirmity, 12 years of infirmity, and this woman's life is transformed by this touch of Jesus. And what is so beautiful about Jesus is we never have to talk about Jesus like how he used to be. Oh, well, you know how Jesus used to be. No, we may say that about everybody else we know, but we don't have to say that about Jesus, because how Jesus used to be, Jesus is and will always be. Oh, Jesus is the, when you talk, this Jesus here, is this Jesus here? Is that Jesus there? There's no shifting here. No, he is. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is. He is the same back then, right now, and up there. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm telling you, the Jesus that that woman touched and the power that came to her is the same Jesus Christ that is here this morning, that we worship, that we preach, and that we declare. This Jesus. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change. And so I am just honored today to stand in this place and decree his touch is still a healing touch, a delivering touch, a releasing touch, a life-changing and a life-giving touch. She did not wait. It probably wasn't going to happen on that day and in those circumstances that Jesus was going to get to her. It was just a full day, and it was just a huge crowd, and it probably wasn't going to happen that Jesus was gonna get to her. And so she did not wait for Jesus to touch her. She touched him. Now she pressed in through that crowd. She pushed her way to him, and she believed with all of her heart, if I could just get a hold of something that's been close to him. Sometimes a desperate thing is not a bad thing. Sometimes a desperate circumstance is the catalyst sometimes that we need for the miracle. And this woman was in a desperate place and a desperate situation, and Jesus was going by, and he probably wasn't going to go over there and speak to her, because there was this amazing crowd, and he was walking through the crowd. I love the way she presses in through that crowd. I love the way she pushes her way to him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women, I might add, lay hold of it, press into it, push themselves into it. This woman forcefully advanced through that pack of people and that mob of men until she reached him and touched him. And when she touched him, her world changed. Her world changed. We read in Mark chapter 5 and verse 23. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman, this is Mark's version, okay? We're just going to read it from Mark's version. The other version is sort of the condensed version. I think it was like the man version or something. And this is more of the, you know. So this is a little more detail. This is the story Carol wants to hear. How was it, honey? Good. It was really good. Yeah, but tell me about it. No, it was good. Well, what did they say? Yeah, it's good. All right, let's read it. Let's expand it for those who like more detail. In Mark chapter 5, verse 23, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. I know exactly what she's... I know. How many have suffered many things from many physicians? I'm just making a little joke here. But they like to poke and prod, and I can remember Dr. Mark Graydon saying to me when he put a cortisone shot in my heel, he said, grit your teeth. Scream if you have to. I thought, please, Lord, don't let me say anything that I would be embarrassed about when that needle goes... Come on now. When that needle goes up all the way up to the bone in my... And he had a woman intern in there. And I said, and also, God, while you're at it, don't let me cry in front of this woman. Now, a certain woman... Okay. So she suffered. She suffered many things from many physicians. And she has spent now all that she had. And here's the deal. And was no better. But rather, grew worse. Suffering, broke, and hopeless. That's the little lady that pushed through that crowd. She was suffering. She had spent all of her money. And she had gotten worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She just went in there and got it. She didn't wait for her Connect group leader to call her up and ask how she was going. She just went in there and got it. She just knew. She just had this hunch. She just had this suspicion of faith that if she could just get close enough to touch his clothes, I mean, what did she have to lose? She was sick as she could be. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She had no more money to spend, and she had gotten worse. I'm going to press in there. And Lord help the man that would keep her from getting too close. I like this lady. I like her. And I like this Savior who is so filled with virtue and power and kindness that touching him can restore a broken and destitute and desperate life. I like him. We read in Mark chapter 3 and verse 9, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. I just think sometimes we're way too casual here. Let me tell you, in this group, there were some desperate people pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward to touch him. And it was those with diseases. And I just have to say this morning, He is still that Jesus in that crowd. He is that Jesus in this crowd. And there is healing in the touch of Jesus. You know, a few weeks ago, I asked, if you have a story of the healing moment in your life of healing, I said, send them in to us. Let us know. And I've had some wonderful, I've been reading, my faith has been built as I've been reading wonderful testimonies and stories and healings. And I got this one was from Indigo Paik. I don't know if she's here this morning. But she reminded me, and she sent me this. She sent me the girl version, and I'm going to give you the guy version. But you know, 15 years ago, when Indigo was 6 years old, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she had a brain tumor. And we all thought we were going to lose her. It was so hopeless, and Andrew and Delwyn and the family, and there was little Indigo, and this was a life-threatening brain tumor. And here's what she said. I was given 6 weeks of radiation therapy. I was given 4 months of intense chemotherapy. Over the span of 2 years, I had 9 operations. I've had countless needles and catheters and drips, and I was too weak to stand up and walk and too weak to feed myself and too sick to eat. But today, 15 years later, she is a living testimony of the power of Jesus Christ to heal. Jenny Marnie sent me about half a dozen testimonies, which doesn't surprise me. But the one that I just thought I would share with you is she talked about how that when Remy, her daughter, was in kindergarten, and I didn't know this had happened, but when Remy was in kindergarten, they found out that she was deaf in one ear, completely deaf, so deaf that there was no nothing there to help. She was just completely deaf and with no hope of remedy. And Jenny said, as they prayed and as they sought God and cried out to the Lord, that God healed that little girl. And she went back for the testing. And the people who tested her come out and said to Jenny, they said, we've given her every test, and I can't explain anything to you except to tell you she is completely hearing out of that ear that was deaf. Look to the screen.
I'm Gary.
I'm Catherine.
We've been part of Imagination Church, I think, for around about 12 years. Yeah. I've had two of our daughters get married here. Wow. Pretty much all of our kids have been baptized here.
Awesome.
Yeah, love being part of the place.
That's great. And so earlier this year, you had quite a medical journey.
Yes, that's one way of putting it. It all happened pretty quickly. End result was viral pneumonia and some sort of bacterial infection, which landed me in hospital very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on Sunday, when he first went to the hospital, only the bottom part of his left lung had been affected by the pneumonia. Mm. The x-ray showed by Monday morning it was the whole of the left lung.
Wow.
By Tuesday morning, it had also gone over to the right lung.
Wow.
And then by Wednesday morning, he only had 5% capacity of
wow.
his lung
yeah.
left. The doctors were very unsure.
Yeah.
He'd got sick very quickly, I said, well, what do I tell our children?
Yeah.
What do I tell family? And they said, he's critical.
Wow.
He's the sickest person that we have in ICU.
Wow.
And we are doing all we can at the moment.
And what did you hold on to in that time?
What did I hold on to? God. God. The thing that sustained me is our church family, mm. our family. I was scared, but I had an amazing peace.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, they talk about a peace that passes all understanding.
Mm.
And that actually is honestly what I had. There wasn't the security or the knowledge that Gary wouldn't pull through with everything the family has faced.
Yeah.
There was the heartache.
Mm.
But through it all, I had the peace of knowing that no matter what happened, no matter what the outcome was, that I had God with me. And I know that it is a miracle.
Yeah. Were there specific miracles along the way, or was it just like the fact that he's still here today, that's the miracle?
Well, for me, it's the fact that I'm still here because, like I said, when they sedated me, I had no idea how sick I was becoming, and I didn't realise that I was facing probably 4 days where it was literally going to be touch and go for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that I woke up again with no residual long-term effects is just incredible. It's an absolute miracle, definitely.
Mm.
No matter what life throws at you, and we've had our fair share thrown at us in the last 3 years, God is always there. Mm. God is the one thing that never changes.
Yeah.
During those 4 critical days, we were monitoring and kept abreast, and honestly, it looked as though with the pneumonia and now infection, that there was just no hope. And the next Sunday, he walked in and sat right over there. I almost fell over. I walked up to him and I said, am I looking at a miracle? He said, you are looking at a miracle. Carol preached, and don't you appreciate Carol? You don't even miss me when I'm gone when she's here, right? Isn't she awesome? And she was sharing on healing and the anointing and an anointing oil. And Kay Leek sent this in. During the healing ministry this morning, I was in agony from arthritis in my spine. I couldn't go up during the ministry time to get prayed for as I was serving on the camera. Mate, leave the dang camera. Let's just put this out there right now. If you're up here singing that just shows her heart. That just shows her heart. She says, during the ministry time, I couldn't go down and get prayed for because I was serving on the camera, but was believing for a healing by just being there. Not long after I got home, I was completely pain-free. And then our own Carmel Crossdale, we just love so much. In 2016, she sent this to me. In 2016, at the Holy Spirit Conference, Tim Hall called out someone with an underactive thyroid. I went out for prayer. I was dramatically slain in the spirit. I had been on medication to stabilize my blood levels for about 4 years. She stopped her medication on that day, went to the doctor. The doctor was completely satisfied that she was healed, and she has not been on any meds for this since November of 2016. So let's just praise the Lord for that. One more time, look to the screen. And Doug can't get up here and talk without letting the cat out of the bag. So just look one more time to the screen.
My name is Doug Green, and I'm married to Karen for 32 years it is now.
Wow.
And I've got 5 children.
So you were diagnosed with cancer several years ago.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about how that came about.
I was 42 at the time. You're going to know my age now when I tell you how long ago. That was 12 years ago that I was first diagnosed. And I was fit and healthy. Mm. And then just out of the blue, I had some just small sickness, and it turned out to be cancer. Mm. It happened that quickly. The cancer I had was called non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm. And I'll never forget the first day of going to see my doctor, and I had some scans done, and I went back with the report. I was with my wife, and it was obviously a very emotional time for us. And I remember seeing my doctor, and my family doctor, and he had tears in his eyes. And I remember forget the words when he said to me, "Doug, you got cancer, and you got a big battle ahead of you." And first thing that happened after I was diagnosed, and what changed things for me, is that I surrendered my life 100% to God. Mm. As a Christian, I'd loved God and I served Him, but I knew I'd held things back from Him. And that day, I just held nothing back. I said, "I'm 100% yours." And from that moment, things changed in my heart, in my life. My physical condition hadn't changed, but inside it was different. And as I moved forward, God began to open up the Bible about the cross and that what Jesus did at that cross. Not only did he die for our sins, but he died for our sickness. And the Bible says that he bore our pain and he bore our sickness. And I began to understand the truth of the cross. And it started to change me. My faith started to grow. It started to build. And then I got to the point where I became more and more confident. And I started to say and believed in all my heart that healing belonged to me because of what Jesus has done.
So how did it come about that you found out that you were fully cancer-free and healed?
Well, because it's quite black and white with doctors, there was scans before and scans after. Yeah. And it was quite simple. I had a scan and that report come back and said that the cancer was no longer there. I was free of cancer.
Yeah.
And I do remember asking my oncologist, I mean, obviously I was so excited at the time to hear that. And I said to him, well, I've got all these friends and family and people that I know want to know what's the situation and what can I tell them? And he said, tell them you're perfectly healthy.
Wow.
And that was coming from an oncologist.
Yeah.
And I don't think they give that out very readily. So it was great news, obviously, and it was quite clear that God had done a miracle.
Yeah.
And that was what I would encourage you, anyone that's facing what I faced, is surrender your life 100% to God and give him all you've got. Leave no stone unturned, and the God will start opening up the Bible to you.
In Matthew chapter 8, we read verses 1 through 4. And when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. And don't do that, Jesus. You don't touch lepers. You don't touch lepers. Lepers have never been touched. But he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He is willing. He was willing then. He is willing now. He is willing. One translation says, if you want to, you can make me whole. He said, I want to be whole. Can I just say today, God's will for you is good. God's will for me is good. And if I'm praying for you, and if you're in a situation or circumstance, I'm going to pray with that faith. Is that okay? And if I'm sick and I'm in a circumstance and I'm in a situation, don't come to me and say, well, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not sure if God's going to. No, don't do it. Pray in that faith right there. Because I believe the default, unless God's taking us home, and I can't answer all those questions, but I believe scripture after scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, the default is he is the Lord that not only forgives all of our iniquities, but he heals our diseases. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever, so he touched her. He touched her. My message today is the healing touch of Jesus. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. His touch can stop a hemorrhage. His touch can cure a leper. His touch can cancel a cancer. His touch can terminate a tumor. His touch can open the eyes of the blind. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. If we can believe, his hand is still extended. Jesus has not changed. I thought it was interesting the other day. I was speaking with Dr. Sam Chand. He was the other speaker at the WAVE conference. And he said, you know, he was talking about how that when another case of blind man, and Jesus spit in the mud, you remember? And he spit in the mud, and Dr. Sam Chan said, you can only do that one on blind people. I Because he's, oh, that feels like a salve. Or that. It's just, it's not my theology, Sam Chan's theology. All right. His touch. His saliva. Matthew 14:34. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, which is, of course, is the Sea of Galilee. And when the men of that place recognized him, oh, come on. See, that's the most powerful little thought in this whole story that I'm about to read right now. They recognized him. They recognized him. Oh, I know who he is. Oh, get everybody. Get it. I know. Do you know who that is? Do you know who's, you know who just walked in the room? Do you know who that is? No, who is? Go get everybody. Go. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. They recognized him. They were like that woman. You don't even have to touch him. You just have to touch something that's touched him. You don't have to touch him. You just have to touch the hem of him. They recognized him. Now, you compare that to when Jesus went to Nazareth. When Jesus walked into Nazareth, they didn't recognize him. Oh, yeah, that's Joe's boy. That's Joe and Mary's boy. He was raised. Oh, no, who does he think he is? And you know what the Bible says? Imagine the living, powerful Son of God. Here's what the Bible says. And he could not do many miracles there. Can I tell you where miracles happen? It's where people recognize that Jesus is here. And when people recognize that Jesus is here, people press in. They recognize him. They recognized him. They pressed in. They pressed in. Do we recognize who is here today? Do we recognize today who we are worshiping, who we are speaking of, who we are fellowshipping with? Do we recognize him today? His touch heals. His touch. Whether it's him touching you or you touching him, or you touching the hem of him, or you touching something that's touched him, the result is always the same. Made perfectly well. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the midst of this crowd, here today, right now, for Jesus to stop the service and say, "Who touched me?" Wouldn't it be wonderful for Jesus to interrupt this talk right now and say, "Well, but who touched me?" "Well, Lord, what do you mean who touched you?" No, somebody over here touched me just now. Somebody touched me. Somebody back there, who touched me? Jesus, what do you mean who touched you? Because he had felt someone reach out. He had felt someone over here touched him. Someone reached out. Wouldn't it just be an amazing thing that Jesus would stop our service? Who touched me? Lord, it's a crowd of people. What do you mean? No, someone has touched me. Someone's faith has put a demand on my healing power. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, he went down with them and stood on a level place, and a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, from the coast up there at Tyre and Sidon, way up there in Syria, who had come down to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured. Verse 19, and this is where I'm going to close this morning, but verse 19 says this, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. That Jesus, that if you touch him, healing flows. If he touches you, healing flows. How powerful is he? Honestly, you can go through the scripture and you can see that there's healing in his name. There's healing in his word. He can just send a message. There's healing in his clothes. There's healing in his saliva. There's healing. There's everything. How powerful is he? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He is the Lord who forgives your iniquities. He is the Lord who heals your diseases. And Doug said today, and we sang about it today. And how does he do that? He does that through the cross. Let's stand together. Mercies and miracles. Mercies and miracles. The mercies and the miracles of God. I'm going to ask the team to play for just a moment. Now, we have communion today and our time constraint. We have another service that starts soon. But what if where we stand today, what if right here where we stand, what if you put a demand? What if you put a demand by reaching out with your faith? I'm not saying you can demand Jesus. Yeah, I'm not saying you can command him. I don't mean that. But what if your faith put a demand on him, on his power? And right where you stand right now, your back was healed. Really? Right where you stand right now, that lump or that bump would just disappear. Because Jesus is here, and because you pressed in, and because you reached out to him, and because you touched him, I believe there's healing in him. And I believe he is in this place. And so, let's just wait a moment. Before I give an altar call for salvation, let's just wait a moment, because he's here. And he's the same. And he's not changed. And he is willing. Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. Lord, if you want to,